live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Monday, June 27th, 2022. Coming up this hour.
Reaction continues to pour into the Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights.
Russia defaults on its foreign debt for the first time since 1918.
And one of Wall Street's biggest bears sees the market rally continuing before another sell-off.
Man faces charges after he backslapped former Mayor Giuliani. Plus, New York's annual Pride Parade took a different tone after last week's Supreme Court abortion ruling. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stanshauer in sports. Another Aaron Judge walk-off Yankee win. The Mets lost, and the Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures on the rise this morning. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 19 points this morning. Dow futures up 108, and NASDAQ futures up 80. The DAX in Germany's up 1%. The 10-year Treasury down 9/32. Yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.07%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 31 cents at $107.93 a barrel. COMEX gold is up 0.6% or $10.1840.30 an ounce, and the euro 1.0572 against the dollar. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thanks. We'll have more on the markets in a moment, but this morning we begin in the nation's capital. The Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights continues to reverberate. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren says the court has burned its own legitimacy.
We have never left individual rights to the states. The whole idea is that women are not second-class citizens, and the government is not the one that will decide about the continuation of a pregnancy.
Speaking on ABC's This Week, Senator Warren says President Biden should add more justices to the Supreme Court. South Dakota is one of 13 states with trigger laws banning most abortions. Republican Governor Kristi Noem says her state will work to get resources to women with unplanned pregnancies.
I think we'll continue to have those debates on how we can support these mothers and what it means to really make sure that we're not prosecuting mothers ever in a situation like this when it comes to abortion, that it will always be focused towards those doctors who knowingly break the law to perform abortions in our state.
Governor Kristi Noem spoke on CBS's Face the Nation. Listen for Face the Nation and This Week every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
Well, another major story this morning, Nathan, brings us to Europe in a meeting of leaders from the Group of Seven countries. They've committed to indefinite support to Ukraine and its fight against Russia. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter has the story.
President Joe Biden says any other course would be dangerous for world democracies.
We have to stay together. Yeah. Because Putin has been counting on from the beginning. And somehow NATO would and the G7 would splinter.
The group also signed onto a Biden-forged program called Build Back Better World Initiative to attack the problems met by the global economy and climate change. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thanks. A couple other notes from the G7. Leaders have begun a second day of talks in the Bavarian Alps. They've been joined by video link from Kyiv by Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who's urging G7 leaders to intensify sanctions against Russia. A senior U.S. administration official tells reporters the G7 will explore ways to set a Russian oil price cap that would only allow the transport of Russian crude sold below an agreed threshold.
Well, Nathan, that news comes as Russia defaults on its foreign currency sovereign debt for the first time in a century. And we go to Europe and get the latest with Bloomberg's Ewan Potts. Good morning, Ewan.
Good morning, Karen and Nathan. It's Russia's first foreign sovereign debt default since 1918. At midnight last night, the grace period on about $100 million of interest payments expired, a deadline considered a default event. Russia's Eurobonds have traded at distress levels since March, with the central bank's foreign reserves frozen because of sanctions. Moscow says the default label is a farce, saying it has the funds available but has been forced into non-payment. In London, I'm Ewan Potts, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ewan, thanks. Turning back to markets now, U.S. futures are higher this morning. The S&P 500 is coming off its first weekly gain in a month. And one of the most prominent bears on Wall Street sees this rally continuing temporarily. Morgan Stanley strategist Michael Wilson says the S&P could climb another 5 to 7% before resuming losses.
Well, Nathan, Mike Wilson's call comes as we enter the final trading week of the month and the second quarter. We get more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
Earnings from major retailers will hint at how consumers are holding up. Traders and investors, though, remain concerned about recession fears and how far the Fed will need to raise rates to control inflation. Kevin Holt is Chief Investment Officer at Invesco.
I think rates are going to continue to move higher throughout the year. I think we're likely to have earnings disappointments in Q2, which are going to create more attractive entry points probably later in the year, either Q3 or Q4.
Among the consumer-facing companies reporting earnings this week are Nike, Bed Bath & Beyond, and Walgreens Boots Alliance. We'll also hear from Constellation Brands, General Mills, Micron Technology, and Paychex. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. In Asia, overnight stocks gained to begin the week. Let's get the recap from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
A strong day for risk assets in Asia. The MSCI Asia Pacific Index was up for a third day, powered by Alibaba, Samsung, and other tech companies. The recent drop in commodity prices has led some investors to bet that inflation has peaked. Quarterly rebalancing by institutional investors could also be weighing in. Other positives include a modest improvement in China's economy in June and a further easing of COVID restrictions in the country. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. On the economic front this week, it's all about monetary policy. Central bank chiefs from the U.S., the Eurozone, and the U.K. will exchange views in public on Wednesday. Fed Chair Jay Powell, ECB President Christine Lagarde, and Bank of England Governor Andrew Bailey appear together at the ECB's annual meeting in the Portuguese resort of Sintra, and so will Bloomberg's Francine Lacqua. Francine sits down for a conversation with all three, live right here on Bloomberg Radio and Television. It all begins at 9:30 Wall Street time Wednesday morning.
On the commodity front this morning, Karen, gold is on the rise. It's up about 0.5% to $1,840.10 per ounce. The spike comes as the U.S., U.K., Japan, and Canada plan to announce a ban on new gold imports from Russia during the G7 summit. Sources say the Treasury Department will issue the U.S. ban tomorrow. S&P futures are up 16 points. Dow futures up 92. NASDAQ futures are higher by 70 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 8/32. The yield 3.16%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines and a check of sports. This is Bloomberg. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Cloudy, 73 degrees in Central Park. Lanes closed westbound LIE with an accident after the Grand Central Parkway. Details coming up in traffic first. Michael Barr with details on what's happening in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A Staten Island grocery store worker was arrested after police say he slapped Rudy Giuliani on the back and called him a disparaging name. Authorities say the former Trump attorney was at a ShopRite near Bricktown Way campaigning for his son Andrew when the incident happened. Police say the 39-year-old ShopRite worker open-hand slapped Giuliani. The former New York City mayor spoke to ABC.
I went forward, but luckily I didn't fall down. Lucky I'm a 78-year-old who's in pretty good shape, because if I wasn't, I'd have hit the ground and probably cracked my skull.
The grocery store worker is facing second-degree assault charges for hitting Giuliani. Tomorrow, seven states, including New York, are set to host primary elections. For the Democrats, New York Governor Kathy Hochul faces Tom Suozzi and Jumaane Williams for the gubernatorial nomination. Rob Astorino, Andrew Giuliani, Harry Wilson, and Lee Zeldin are running for the GOP nomination for governor. Crowds in rainbow colors covered Manhattan's Fifth Avenue yesterday for the annual New York City Pride Parade. It's the first unrestricted celebration in 2 years. This parade goer is thankful for the return to normalcy.
I'm so glad that people are coming out, reuniting, having a great time, being comfortable, feeling safe.
The parade, the largest in the country, marks the history of the gay rights movement following the infamous police raid on the Stonewall Inn. It helped the push for equality in the LGBTQ community. However, Chase Strangio with the ACLU is concerned about those rights after Friday's Supreme Court ruling on abortion overturning Roe v. Wade.
There are 13 states already where people are no longer able to access abortion, and there are LGBTQ people in those states. So there is an immediate impact. And then, of course, I don't think we can sit by and think that other monumental Supreme Court precedents are fine.
Chase Strangio is the deputy director for transgender justice with the ACLU. The New York subway lines are going to speed it up a bit. According to the New York Daily News, starting today, the 2, 3, 4, and 5 lines will run on a faster weekday schedule. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts, more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thank you. Coming up to 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with John Stashower.
Nathan, 5 years ago, the Colorado Avalanche had one of the worst regular seasons in NHL history, only 48 points. Playoff team the next four seasons, but always out by the second round. In these playoffs, they were dominant, 16-4, and last night in Tampa, the Stanley Cup was hoisted.
4 seconds, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 1 second, it's over! They did it! They did it! The job is done! The Colorado Avalanche are Stanley Cup champions!
KSC in Denver. The calls. The Avs fell behind, but then scored twice second period. They held the Lightning without a shot on goal for the first 10 minutes of the third. They won game 6-2-1. The Lightning denied a third straight cup. The Yankee-Astros series in the Bronx began and ended with Aaron Judge walk-off hits. In between, Judge went 0-for-11. The Yankees came up with a seventh inning. They haven't gone 0-for-their-last-52. 16 innings without a hit. But a Giancarlo Stanton home run, a DJ LeMahieu game-tying two-run shot in the eighth, and then a three-run blast by Judge with two out in the 10th for a 6-3 Yankee win, a split of the series. The Yanks now 31-9 at home, and tonight they host the lowly Oakland A's. The Mets are off. They'll host the Astros tomorrow. The Mets lost in Miami 3-2 on a walk-off home run bottom of the ninth by the Marlins' Nick Fortes. Golf near Hartford, Xander Schauffele got the win. 23-year-old Matthew Wolf, considered a rising star, finished 40th, and then came word he's leaving the PGA Tour. He's heading for the new LIV Tour, which has a tournament this week in Portland. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports. Mm-hmm.
Okay, John, thanks. S&P futures up 15 points. Dow futures up 82. NASDAQ futures up 64 points. 10-year Treasury yield 3.16%. NYMEX crude moving up a touch higher, up 0.2%. With word of a Russian oil price cap potentially coming out of the G7 summit in the Bavarian Alps. We'll take you live to Bavaria. Check in with Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo next. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Hofstra University's Frank G. Zarb School of Business, top-ranked online MBA program with a real-world foundation. Learn more at hofstra.edu/gograd.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and global stocks extending gains after posting their best performance in a month last week. U.S. stock index futures with tech stocks on the rise, as well as futures. They're set to extend their gains following the best week since March. S&P futures up about 16 points, NASDAQ futures up 70, and Dow futures up 83. The DAX in Germany is up 0.9%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 3.16%. The yield on the 2-year, 3.07%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 21 cents at $107.83 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.5% or $9.90 at $18.40.30 an ounce. The euro 1.0571 against the dollar. The British pound 1.2277. The yen is at 135.15. And looking at Bitcoin this morning, little changed at $21,400. And Nike is among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. South Dakota Republican Governor Kristi Noem is pledging to bar mail-order abortion pills, but says women shouldn't face prosecution for seeking them. The Supreme Court last week stripped away women's protections for abortion. Russia has shattered weeks of relative calm in Ukraine's capital with a missile attack as Western leaders meeting in Europe prepare to reaffirm their support for Ukraine and condemnation of Russia. In the NHL, the Avalanche have won the Stanley Cup after beating the Lightning. In baseball, the Yankees won, the Mets lost, the Red Sox, Nationals, and A's won, the Orioles and Giants lost. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Okay, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And let's get more now on how leaders from the world's biggest economies are looking to shore up support for Ukraine and put even more economic pressure on Russia. The G7 summit continues this morning at the Bavarian Alps in Germany, where we find Bloomberg's Maria Tadeo here with us live this morning. Maria, it's good to speak with you. Thanks for being here with us. What are some of the most important developments to come out of the G7 so far?
Look, I think overall you have to really factor that this entire meeting, the G7, has been completely dominated by the war in Ukraine. There is a shadow of the war, of course, which is happening in continental Europe as we speak, and that has really changed and shaped the conversation here for 2 days as G7 leaders gathered together. I think a lot of the big focus for them was to show the world that the big democracies of the Western world share the same values and share the same opinion when it comes to Ukraine. And in fact, we're expecting a communique that will once again say and reiterate that the G7 countries of the world, the biggest democracies on the planet, will help, quote, Ukraine on an open-ended basis until the war comes to an end.
What does that mean in terms of support? We've heard a number of potential policy developments to come out of this summit, especially when it comes to going after Russia's energy sector. Is there anything concrete coming out so far?
Look, I think when it comes to helping Ukraine, it's understood that it means everything. It's a whole package. It's weapons, it's financially the reconstruction of this country. It is very clear that the West is going to have to pay for this. The Ukrainian economy, particularly in the east of the country, has been completely destroyed by Russia. I mean, we really have to take a moment back and really just see the severity of this. This is an all-out invasion, bombing war into Ukraine by the Russian army. I think, however, the active discussion that's going on, also pegged to the war, but more of a second-round effect of it, is oil prices. And we have seen that as a result of supply, but also the impact that the sanctions have on the market. Russia has made not just very substantial revenues, but prices have become very volatile. They pass on to consumers, and then in the same direction, inflation gets pushed higher as a result. So for G7 leaders, what we expect is that today they will agree not to a price cap, not just yet, but to form a task force that could look into it and analyze the different options.
Yeah, I guess that really points to the difficulty that Europe particularly is seeing in terms of putting even more economic pressure on Russia, because that pressure has been shown to devolve onto the European continent now, increasing inflation and increasing oil prices for the European consumer. What's the difficulty for Europe in particular to put more economic pressure on Russia that doesn't affect them?
Well, I think you've summarized it there. It's very difficult. And here's the thing. I also, you know, this is very important. And I cover Europe repeatedly from multiple countries. The impact that this war has in Europe is much bigger than it would have in the American economy. I was once told for every dollar the United States is going to lose on this, the European Union could lose up to 10. The transactional relationship between the EU, Russia, the energy relationship, the energy flows is much more, is bigger, is more important, and of course has a bigger impact. For the Europeans, it's very difficult to cause damage and not be hurt by it. They really understand that the harder you sanction, the more you're going to feel the pain. I think now what they focus on is to do it in a way that perhaps is more targeted, so that they're able to get their economies in shape ahead of the winter. I also think that when you look at potential future sanctions, we have hit a moment of a breather. I think a lot of European countries want to take a breather before they go back at it again, particularly in the winter, because it's almost impossible for Europe to circle this thing with Russia and sanctions and not be hurt by it.
In our last minute here, Maria, is there still a sense that the world's biggest economies are united in confronting Russia and supporting Ukraine? Or are we seeing signs of fractures moving into place here at the G7?
No, look, that I have seen, no. They use the same language. Everyone is pretty much on board, suggesting this is about helping Ukraine. Russia will realize it's made a historic mistake, and Vladimir Putin will pay a very high price for it. There has been no suggestion about pushing Ukraine into a deal. They really have avoided using any language that would be seen as defeatist for the Ukrainian government. And, of course, when you get here and you gather from leaders from seven different countries, they all have their international agenda. agenda that they want to focus on, the national issues, you try to put them aside. And when it comes to sending a message, I think what we've seen over the past 24 hours is really everyone speaking with the same voice. I personally have not noticed anything that would make me think that unity is breaking.
Thanks for this. Maria Tadeo, Bloomberg News, part of our team of correspondents covering the G7 summit from the Bavarian Alps in Germany. Right now, S&P futures are up 16 points. Dow futures up 87. NASDAQ futures are higher by 70 points. This is Bloomberg. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy. Could see some scattered showers and storms today, going up to around 80 degrees. We'll be near 80 tomorrow in the sunshine. Low 80s Wednesday. Right now, 73 and cloudy in Central Park.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the open of U.S. trading. Time for the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by IBKR. Investment advisors switch to Interactive Brokers for lowest cost global trading and turnkey custody solutions. No ticket charges and no conflicts of your interest at IBKR.com/RIA. First, we begin in the nation's capital, where the Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights continues to reverberate. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren is calling for a change to the high court structure.
I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
Speaking on ABC's This Week, Senator Warren said President Biden needs to make abortion as available as possible. South Dakota is one of 13 states with trigger laws that ban most abortions. Republican Governor Kristi Noem tells ABC her state will work to get resources to women with unplanned pregnancies.
I don't believe there should be any punishment for women ever that are in a crisis situation or have an unplanned pregnancy. And South Dakota has been strong on that argument.
Governor Kristi Noem spoke with ABC's This Week. Listen to This Week every Sunday on Bloomberg Radio.
Turning overseas, Karen, group of seven leaders have begun a second day of talks in the Bavarian Alps. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky urged them to intensify sanctions against Russia. The G7 is committing indefinite support to Ukraine. A U.S. senior administration official says the leaders will explore ways to set a Russian oil price cap.
And that news, Nathan, comes as Russia defaulted on its foreign currency sovereign debt for the first time since 1918. Bloomberg rates correspondent Garfield Reynolds says the default is a result of Russia's exclusion from the global financial systems.
It's not that the money isn't there. It's that the money is not allowed to be used for that because of the ruling from the U.S. and others that Russia is outside of civilized society.
Bloomberg's Garfield Reynolds says Russia found paths around penalties for months before defaulting.
Turning to markets, Karen, as we begin the final trading week of the month and the second quarter, U.S. futures are higher, with the S&P 500 coming off its first weekly gain in a month.
And on the commodity front, Nathan, gold is on the rise. It's at $1,839 an ounce, up about 0.5%. The spike comes as the U.S., UK, Japan, and Canada plan to announce a ban on new gold imports from Russia during the G7 summit. And that's the five things you need to know to start your day, brought to you by Interactive Brokers. And again, futures are higher this morning, with S&P futures up about 12 points. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports, and this is Bloomberg.
Thank you, Karen. It's 6:33 on Wall Street. We're at 73 degrees in Central Park. We've got a crash on the upper deck of the George Washington Bridge heading into New Jersey. Details coming up in traffic. First, Michael Barr with more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. A Staten Island grocery store worker was arrested after police say he slapped Rudy Giuliani on the back and called him a disparaging name. Authorities say the former New York City mayor and Trump attorney was at a ShopRite campaigning for his son, Andrew, when the incident happened. The 39-year-old ShopRite worker is facing second-degree assault charges for the open-hand slap on Giuliani, who is 78. Tomorrow, seven states, including New York, are set to host primary elections. For the Democrats, New York Governor Kathy Hochul faces Tom Suozzi and Jumaane Williams for the gubernatorial nomination. Rob Astorino, Andrew Giuliani, Harry Wilson, and Lee Zeldin are running for the GOP nomination for governor. Thousands of people lined Manhattan's Fifth Avenue yesterday for the annual New York City Pride Parade. The parade, the largest in the country, marks the history of the gay rights movement following the infamous police raid on the Stonewall Inn. Filmmaker James Scully says it's because of the decades of fighting that he was able to make the Hulu rom-com Fire Island.
It's not about being bogged down or learning to come to terms with your queerness. It's about celebrating your queerness, celebrating your chosen family, living in your truth, and celebrating the joy that comes with all of those things. And I think that that's revolutionary.
Filmmaker James Scully. However, the Pride Parade also had another tone, the fight for abortion rights.
I'm sure what'll come next with the other rights that are under attack, they'll come, but we're ready for the fight. We've been fighting for our whole lives just like women have been.
Pride parades were also held in other big cities, including San Francisco. Norway's prime minister and members of the royal family joined mourners at a memorial service in Oslo Cathedral for the victims of a shooting attack. The attack over the weekend came as the capital held its annual Pride Festival. Prime Minister Jonas Gahr Støre.
One way of countering this kind of violence and extremism is to take back the normal life, and that's what we will do with quite some strength.
The suspect, a 42-year-old Norwegian citizen originally from Iran, is in custody. WNBA star Brittany Griner, who's been in Russian custody since February, is expected to appear in court today. Griner was arrested at the airport in Moscow after being accused of carrying vape cartridges containing hash oil. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. Well, 6:36 on Wall Street. John Stashower has the Bloomberg Sports Update.
Thanks, Nathan. The Tampa Bay Lightning trying to do something no team's done since the Islanders in the early 1980s. A Stanley Cup three-peat. They fought off elimination three times, including Game 5 in Denver. But back in Tampa, Colorado scored twice second period. That was enough for a 2-1 Game 6 victory. Third cup in Avs history. They also won 1996 and 2001. Defenseman Cole Makar won the Conn Smythe Trophy as playoff MVP. When the Warriors just won the NBA championship, the commissioner, Adam Silver, could not hand them the trophy because of COVID. Same thing happened last night with NHL commissioner Gary Bettman. A wild one in the Bronx. The first and last pitches of the game were home runs. Jose Altuve for the Astros. Yankees did not get a hit until the seventh inning, which made it 16 straight innings without a hit. They only had four, but three were home runs. Giancarlo Stanton in the seventh to break up what would have been baseball history, a second no-hitter in a row. DJ LeMahieu, game-tying two-run shot in the eighth. And in the tenth, all right.
And the pitch is swung on and hit in the inning. It's a walk-off three-run home run. It's a Judgian blast to deep left center into the bullpen.
And WFAN, Yankees 6, Astros 3, 28th home run for Aaron Judge's second walk-off hit of the series, and the Yanks 10th walk-off win. The Marlins walked off on the Mets in Miami. Home run bottom of the ninth by Nick Fortes off Adam Ottavino to beat the Mets 3-2. Wild brawl between the Mariners and Angels. Six ejections, and they are underway this morning. It's opening day at Wimbledon. John Stashower, Bloomberg Sports.
All right, John, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time to take a look at stocks. Some of the names moving before the market open on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio and TV markets correspondent Kriti Gupta is with us on a morning where we could be seeing yet more gains, Kriti.
Yeah, a lot of green on the screen, Nathan, and it's really broad-based here, so it tells you that perhaps there is a little bit of sustainability, a little bit of legs to this rally today, at least in the pre-market, or at least for the first couple of hours of this trading that you are seeing. Let's take a look at some of these names here that are in the green. A lot of this is going to be commodity-led, so names like Newport, for example, NEM is your ticker. This is, of course, the classic gold company, up 1.6%. Similar story when you look at, say, energy names like Diamondback Energy, FANG is your ticker, up 2.2%. Also look at copper. I mean, this really is a broad commodity story. FCX for Freeport-McMoRan up about 2.8% in the session. So right off the bat, you are seeing that strength when it comes to those names. Is this an inflation story or is this simply a risk rally? Perhaps some of those recession fears abating just a touch over the weekend. You also do have those tech names joining in as well. Take a look at Netflix, NFLX up 1.3%, NVIDIA as well, NVDA up 1%. So like I said, really both sides of the spectrum from commodities to tech, both are rallying today. But Nathan, we should talk about what isn't rallying today.
Okay.
And that is going to be Coinbase really taking a dive this morning. COIN is your ticker, down about 4.7%. This comes after some comments here at Goldman. It was cut to a sell rating over at Goldman Sachs on a weakening revenue base to a street low price target of $45. And the firm actually cited the continued downdraft in crypto prices and a drop in industry activity levels. Remember, Coinbase is a crypto exchange. So if you start to say less and less people want to trade it or less and less people want to own it, Coinbase is going to be way more exposed than other companies who've just perhaps invested in crypto. So that's going to be a big one. Another company that's very similar to that is Robinhood, but it's not actually down. HOOD is your ticker. It's up this morning, Nathan, to the tune of 3.4%. This comes after you did see Goldman Sachs analyst raised their recommendation on the stock to neutral from sell. So those shares are rallying once again on a Goldman call.
All right, just quickly, what's happening with Etsy?
Etsy is your only or one of your only down stocks this morning. And this is interesting. They got cut over at Needham. This is important because it comes after a series of cuts for a lot of these e-commerce companies. This morning, the shares are down 3.2%. So ETSY is your ticker there. And once again, it really comes down to this idea of all these high-flying names perhaps coming down to reality just a touch.
All right. Bloomberg Radio and TV Markets correspondent Kriti Gupta with us this morning. Looking ahead to the market open, looks like we could see more gains across the indexes, with S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures are higher by 47 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 11/32nds, the yield 3.17%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, mostly cloudy, some scattered showers and storms today with a high near 80 degrees, mostly sunny, 80 tomorrow. Low 80s and sunny skies for Wednesday. Right now, clouds and 73 degrees in Central Park.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And futures are gaining. We go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. And here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Karen. Modest gains in the U.S. futures right now. Dow futures up 45 points. S&P's gained 9, while NASDAQ futures are up by 42. The U.S. 10-year yield at 3.16%. Gold is up 11. Oil is little changed. And Bitcoin is trading higher by 0.2%. Hong Kong rose 2.4% overnight, while European markets are mostly in the green this morning. And note that Russia defaulted on foreign currency sovereign debt for the first time since 1918. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, durable goods orders, and at 10 o'clock, pending home sales. In other news, Morgan Stanley said this stock rebound may last a few more weeks before further losses, and Goldman Sachs is staying bullish on commodities. Wrapping things up, over at Goldman Sachs, AutoZone was raised to buy, Coinbase was cut to sell, and Robinhood was raised to neutral. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. President Joe Biden and Western allies at a three-day summit in the Bavarian Alps say they are intent on keeping economic pressure on Russia and trying to end the conflict in Ukraine. WNBA star Brittany Griner is expected to appear in court today for her preliminary hearing in Moscow. She was detained for allegedly having vape cartridges with hash oil in her luggage. In the NHL, the Avalanche have won the Stanley Cup after beating the Lightning. Baseball, the Yankees won, Mets lost, the Red Sox, Nationals, and A's won, the Orioles and Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
The decline of fossil fuels isn't going to be cheap. I'm Justin Fox, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Gasoline consumption in the U.S. is currently running about 5% below pre-pandemic levels. With remote work seemingly here to stay, electric vehicle market share rising rapidly, and population growth awfully close to zero, along with shorter-term pressures such as record-high gas prices and a possible recession, it's easier to envision more declines than a big rebound. You might think that reduced demand for a product and the prospect of more declines in the future would put downward pressure on prices. Over the long run, it usually does. Along the way, though, reduced incentives to invest in production capacity can complicate matters. Refinery capacity in the U.S. is down by more than 5% from pre-pandemic levels, and capacity constraints seem to have become the biggest driver of rising gasoline prices. I'm Justin Fox. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPIN Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPIN Go. It is 6:50 on Wall Street. We turn to news and science and technology now with the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report, brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT is dedicated to bolstering support for female and minority students pursuing careers in high-paying STEM industries. Learn more at njit.edu. And here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. Japan is asking Tokyo residents to conserve power, with unusually hot weather stretching the city's grid as fears increase that the heat could last for longer. Companies, including Sony, turned off the lights on its logo at some of its bases. A group of protesters calling for a radical action to cut Australia's carbon emissions shut one of Sydney's major roads this morning. More than 100 demonstrators from the climate protest group Blockade Australia sparked chaotic scenes in Sydney's central business district during the morning commute, when the blocked major roads, including the Harbour Tunnel. Facebook will change its algorithms to prevent discriminatory housing advertising, and its parent company will subject itself to court oversight to settle a lawsuit brought by the Justice Department. In a release, U.S. government officials said it had reached agreement with Meta Platforms to settle the lawsuit filed simultaneously in Manhattan federal court. According to the release, it was the Justice Department's first case challenging algorithmic discrimination under the Fair Housing Act. That's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:51 on Wall Street, and it's now time to check what's going on in D.C., where some of the top stories include the political fallout from the Supreme Court's decision to overturn abortion rights. Democratic Senator Elizabeth Warren tells ABC's This Week the court has lost its legitimacy.
I believe we need to get some confidence back in our court, and that means we need more justices on the United States Supreme Court.
Democratic Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez says some justices should be impeached for saying Roe v. Wade was settled law.
This is a crisis of legitimacy, and President Biden must address that.
Congresswoman Ocasio-Cortez was on NBC's Meet the Press. Justice Clarence Thomas is suggesting the rights to contraception and marriage equality should be reconsidered now. But Republican Senator Lindsey Graham tells Fox News Sunday Justice Samuel Alito's decision set the right tone.
The reason he decided that Roe v. Wade was wrongly decided is because it deals with the potential for life. These other privacy issues like contraception do not deal with the potential for life.
Also making news, the House January 6th committee focusing on former President Trump's efforts to overturn an election he knew he lost. Committee member Jamie Raskin tells ABC's This Week the former president has proven himself unfit for office.
Are we going to have politicians who, disappointed with the results, try to overthrow the election and just seize power? Is that what American democracy is going to look like in the 21st century?
And you can hear This Week, Fox News Sunday, and Meet the Press every Sunday right here on Bloomberg Radio. For more on all these stories, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, who sure has been following all the protests throughout the weekend. Where do things go from here now, Emily, in a post-Roe America?
So if you ask Democrats in the House, as I did on Friday, what happens next, a lot of them will point right to November. They'll point right to the ballot boxes, and they say this is something that is now going to be very much in voters' hands. And we saw that, you know, right now, voters, they did not want Roe versus Wade to be overturned. A CBS poll conducted on Friday shows that 59% of Americans disapproved with the ruling, including 67% of women, which is a group that Republicans have really been working to make sure, are supportive of their agenda come November. We've seen a lot of messaging from Republicans really targeted at women, at suburban women, and this could be something that leads many of them to decide to vote for the Democrat this November rather than the Republican. That said, the Republican base is still very much on board with overturning Roe versus Wade and criminalizing abortion in states that want to have that happen. The CBS poll found that 78% of Republicans approved of overturning the ruling. And so we'll still see how this plays out in the elections. A lot of lawmakers who I did speak to said that, you know, we do have to keep in mind the fact that inflation is still a major topic. High gas prices is still something that's very much on Americans' minds. But Nathan, one of the big things about midterms is turnout. And Democrats who might have otherwise stayed home, who are now worried about the future of abortion rights, this might be enough to motivate them to make sure that they're paying attention to the elections this November and actually taking the time to cast a vote.
What about the process questions on Capitol Hill? Does this put more emphasis on some of the lawmakers who have been opposed in the past to things like ending the filibuster or putting more justices on the Supreme Court? Do those get more attention now?
From what we saw on Friday, they do get more attention, but we haven't really seen any signs, Nathan, that more attention is necessarily going to be enough to end the filibuster. We've seen lawmakers very strongly, very uniformly opposed to doing that, remain so despite incredible pressure for them to remove the filibuster for other things. You did, however, see Joe Manchin, who has previously not always been with the abortion rights group, more with the anti-abortion group, actually come out on Friday and say that he would support legislation to codify Roe versus Wade. Although he was hopeful that there would be a bipartisan solution, it'll be interesting to see if he, Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski put their heads together at all. The House has already passed legislation that would codify Roe versus Wade, but right now it doesn't stand the chance of passing a Senate filibuster.
Only about a minute left here, Emily. What's happening next with the January 6th hearings? There's a recess now for Congress, isn't there?
Yeah, we were going to have some hearings this week, but those have been delayed. You've heard lawmakers say that they just need some more time to really put these hearings together. And Nathan, as someone who's watched hearings on Capitol Hill for years, these January 6th hearings are incredibly unique. You usually see hearings kind of just very scattered. Lawmakers will take different things in different ways. Parties are not unified in the questions that they want to ask the witnesses. These January 6th committee hearings, they're highly stylized. They're intensely produced. The way they use video and witnesses, the way that questions are kept on track. They really have begun to really have the effect where they are able to produce some new evidence, so they are reported on frequently, but also just really clarify not just the events of January 6th, but the events leading up to it that show a clear pattern of Trump trying to make sure that he was able to be declared the winner of the 2020 election.
Thanks for all this, Emily. Good having you on with us. Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins from Washington, D.C. Read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. Listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Right now, S&P futures are up 12 points, Dow futures up 78, NASDAQ futures are higher by 52 points. The 10-year Treasury is down 11/32, the yield 3.17%. Bloomberg Surveillance is next. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager, and this is Bloomberg.